Hello, everybody, and welcome to the webinar. Elena is back. Yay! And so we'll continue. I'll let her continue on with everything. Please do as we've done in the past and hold all your questions until the end. She's got a lot of material and specific trains of thought that she wants to get through before the question period, but there will be questions. So I'm turning it over to you, Elena.
Thank you, BL. Well, I want to welcome everybody, the regulars and the new ones who participate in these webinars. And as usually, we will go through a group alignment to focus the group field here. So, please make yourself comfortable. And withdraw your attention from the lower sense perceptions and achieve stillness in the three lower fields of the personality: physical, emotional, and mental. And then raise the consciousness into the head, carrying the consciousness upward through the astral body and the mind to the soul. Identify the personality consciousness with the soul consciousness and realize that they are one. Assume the attitude of the observer upon the mental plane and throw soul energy down into the center at the base of the spine, and then raise the soul energy slowly via the centers in the spine and via the two centers in the head up into the soul body upon the higher mental levels. Recognize the personality is aligned with the soul, forming one unit. And there is a fusion of the individual soul with the group soul on the level of the soul on its own plane. Then link the heart center in the spine with the heart center upon the mental plane, where we find the response to group vibration. And feel the group love uniting all the members of the group into one unit. And we sound the Om together as a group. Om. Okay, thank you, everybody. As you know, the main focus of today's webinar is the pledged disciple. Those of you who study the blue books know that Master DK uses the technical term pledged disciple in many places, but not necessarily in respect to the same stage of the path or level of consciousness. We will touch on some of the different stages of the pledged disciple, but first we discussed this disciple CDP as the pledged disciple at the stage she has reached in that incarnation.
Elena, please, yeah? Please let me know when you want me to switch the screen to you.
Yes. First, we will read those passages in her instruction related to the pledged disciple. And now, Biel, I would like to have the screen free.
Okay. You should have it now.
Yes, yes. Okay.
There we go. We can see it. Thank you.
There you go. So we together will read these passages extracted from the June 1936 instruction, where DK is telling her, "You have a persistence which is undaunted and which has guided you from your early days until now. This persistence is the hallmark of the pledged disciple. Will you remember this? You have never wavered in your search for light and for a field in which to serve your soul and to evidence your devotion to humanity and to the great ones who guide the destiny of the race of men and whom you truly love. You have steadily held to the path and to the work which we sought to have done and have aided where you could and have stood loyally by those who have sought to do our work. The same undaunted persistence demonstrates thus and will continue to do so." Sorry, here I made mistake that putting where we find, you know, for the purpose of the recording, that this is found in Dina 1, page 516. Okay. Now, and now what I will do, I will at this point, I think it would be good if I put just her natal chart. You see, I have highlighted there three qualities: persistence, devotion, and loyalty, because they reflect the strong presence of the sixth ray, which was conditioning this disciple on three levels. You see it here. Okay, sixth ray personality, sixth ray astral, and sixth ray physical. She also had an intense inner loyalty to truth, one-pointed intention, mental focus, and intuitive focused attitude. These are all Sagittarian qualities with the added energies of her second ray soul, fifth ray mind, and all the three sixth rays, conditioning her on three levels. So she had a powerful Sagittarian influence, as we will see when we go through the astrology for her. And the fifth and sixth rays are transmitted through Sagittarius. Okay. So I would like to bring into our attention an important point here in relation to the strong quality of devotion by which the sixth ray is known, being called the sixth ray of devotion, and being so powerfully conditioning this disciple. Now, devotion grows out through many levels of its expression, where a person can demonstrate his devotion to a desire, to a personality, to an ideal, until he finally unifies himself with his first, highest ideal, which is the soul. Devotion can also be glamorous and represents one of the many glamours. So glamour of devotion leads to stimulation of the astral body and the solar plexus, and the person sees only one idea, one authority, and one aspect of truth. And this feeds the fanatism and also a spiritual pride. Again, when a disciple bases his devotion to service only to please the master, and it makes him happy because it pleases the master, then it becomes detriment to his independent spiritual life and a real danger to his progress on the path. Devotion is also one of the three keynotes of the second initiation, which are dedication, glamour, and devotion. Now, the factor which leads to dissipation of glamour is devotion to a master, devotion to the treading of the path at any cost, and to steady attachment to service. Now, personality devotions were the major problems for this disciple. Her emotional devotion and excessive attachment to those she loved, but with a clinging love filled by fear. So we see she was utilizing the positive qualities of the sixth rays, such as devotion to humanity and hierarchy, but the negative aspect of the sixth ray were holding her back. There she had a problem. So, we have the nature chart on the screen, and we will look at the presence of the sixth ray from the perspective of astrology. And those of you who are really the regulars of these webinars know that we have already looked from different perspectives of the presence of the powerful sixth ray, but we will be looking today at the sixth ray from the perspective of the pledged disciple here, and the qualities of that devotion, persistence, and loyalty. Okay? And we see that it is transmitted through the axes of Virgo, Pisces, across the ICMC, or the fourth 10 houses, representing here devotion and love to humanity and hierarchy. Now, Moon is veiling Neptune as a ruler, esoteric ruler of Virgo, and the Cancer decanate of Pisces. You see the Moon there, the Cancer decanate of Pisces, okay? Also, it is the ruler of her Cancer ascendant, and it is placed in Pisces decanate of Scorpio. And it is making a trine aspect to the ascendant in Cancer and to the Cancer decanate of Pisces with heaven. That is a very powerful relationships here, okay? Now, Saturn is ruler of the Capricorn decanate of Virgo. You see that Saturn there, ruling the Capricorn decanate, and is in Pisces, in close trine to the Cancer ascendant, from the ninth house, which is generically the Sagittarian house. Okay? Indicating stabilization of the Sagittarian qualities of mental focus, because Saturn is also a mental energy, inner loyalty to truth, one-pointed intention with the added holding energy of Cancer. Okay? Because that holding energy of Cancer here, expressive positively, was also expressing in her life negatively, holding her children and those she loved close with emotional devotion. You see? Now, Neptune, ruler of the Cancer and Pisces, is sextile to that Saturn in Pisces, where Neptune is the ruler, right? And Saturn is making, as I said, the close trine to that ascendant from the nine house, and this is emphasizing strongly that Sagittarian energy. Now, with that sextile, as we see Neptune, Saturn, Neptune is also making a sextile to the Cancer ascendant. And with that trine to Saturn, we have this powerful triangle here formed, right? Saturn, Neptune, ascendant, indicating that in spite of difficulties, she never wavered to serve her soul and steadily held to the path, which is represented by the nine house of the Saturn placement, Okay. Now we will look. You see what happened here. My program is closing down, which I need to restart this program. I am sorry about this. It's my first time I'm using this program on my new laptop. And so you have to bear with me here. Where I need to bring back the dynamic quadra wheel. Okay. And we have a little problem here. I don't see that. I need to put it on June 15. This we forgot to adjust this big quadra wheel, that this is blocking a little bit the, let's hope it wouldn't make a big problem. So what we are going to look, what is happening to this triangle? Saturn, Neptune, ascendant, which we were looking at. Okay? Natal triangle. And it is activated by the progressed Neptune, you see, in Taurus, 4 degree, 4 degree, 4 degree. Her most important planet, as the esoteric or soul ruler Neptune, is by progression activating this triangle. Okay? The progressed Neptune is also activating that Saturn, obviously, Saturn trine to the natal ascendant, okay? And it is approaching, you see, it's within 1 minute of arc to make exact sextile to the natal ascendant, the progressed Neptune there, okay? Then when we look at the solar arc, Saturn, in 2 degree Taurus there, actually the trine, solar arc trine, and the solar arc ascendant at 2 degree, they are activating the natal Neptune at 2 degree Taurus. So we see the relationship both from progression, secondary progression, and solar arc progressions. Okay. Now, I hope I'm not going to get these big problems here with the program. What we're going to look in the NATO chart is a very important aspect related to this endurance, and that is Mars square Saturn, which is indicating the endurance and non-stop going in spite of difficulties. Okay, that Jupiter here in Sagittarius, it's her second ray soul planet, strongly placed in Sagittarius. It is ruler of Pisces midheaven, right? and is the dispositor of that Saturn in Pisces. Now, this Mars, Jupiter, Saturn triangle, actually making a T square, creates a concentration of energy upon one particular objective with one pointed attention and with successful result. The peak of the triangle is that Saturn in the Sagittarian house, ninth house. Okay? Mars, Jupiter involvement always bring a positive result. Now, this Jupiter, beside making that T square and being in Sagittarius, also holds a very important midpoint, and that happens to be Mars Saturn midpoints of the same triangle, which falls at 17 degree Libra. We don't see it here, you need to calculate it, and it is never put into the chart. Now, this is significant in the way that Libra is the sign related to decisions, solemn promises and pledges which the pledged disciple makes. Okay? The service to which she pledged herself and was committed to by her soul must be also recognized by her personality, and that involving responsibility, which brings us to Saturn and Capricorn energies. As the pledged disciple, she pledged to serve humanity and to cooperate with the plan of the great ones, of the hierarchy, as best as she could. Now, the Jupiter-Saturn midpoint of this triangle falls in Capricorn decanate, in Capricorn sign here, 17 degree 49 actually, if it's calculated, okay? And Capricorn rules also the plan. And this reflects DK's statement that she had an inner recognition of the plan, which was far greater than she suspected. Okay? And this Capricorn, 17 degree Capricorn midpoint, falls in Taurus decanate of Capricorn. Now, what is important about these two midpoints is not only because they are part of this T-square triangle of Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, but they fall in Taurus Aquarian decanates of Libra and Capricorn, where the midpoints are falling. Okay? Taurus is giving the quality of persistence and endurance, and Aquarius, ruler of the ninth house, which is the Sagittarian house here with that Saturn, was indicating the direction towards a future group and World Service, which was lying ahead of her. Now, the placement of the natal Uranus as the ruler of that Aquarius ninth house is also significant because it's also the ruler of Libra, esoteric ruler of Libra, where we find that midpoint. Okay, Mars Saturn is in the second house, which is a house of Taurus. And that Uranus is automatically related to the energies of Taurus, where we see she had three planets, Neptune, Pluto, and Mars. Okay? Now, we will see what is happening with these energies by progression. Hopefully, this program is going to behave itself. Where I need to bring, oh my goodness me, the wheel to 29. November 1936. Hopefully it comes there. Because this relationship between Taurus, Libra, and Aquarius, which we have seen through the relationship of the midpoints, and the signs related by the planets is strengthened by the solar arc Uranus in Libra at 14 Libra 29, making exact sesquiquadrat to the natal Mars at 29 Taurus 29. This is a very important aspect. The Mars is part of the triangle Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, with that Uranus in the house of Taurus and ruling the ninth house in Libra, sign of pledges. Okay. Now the Mars is the dispositor of all the Aries, three Aries planet, including the Sun, and also a planet Vulcan is placed in Aries, even we don't know what degree it is. Okay? And obviously, Vulcan is the esoteric ruler of Taurus. Taurus rules persistence and endurance. And Uranus, the ruler of that Aquarian energy, is placed in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. Okay? Now, we see that the solar arc Uranus in Libra is brought into relation with the Mars Saturn, right? Midpoint, also with the midpoint in Libra, very close to it actually, moving towards it. So the pledges are staying there once the Uranus reach that midpoint, okay? And Mars Saturn midpoint actually falls on Sagittarius also. We don't see it here, but It is so. Now we look at the transit of the Sagittarius. And where do we find it? We find it at the 29 Sagittarius 31. Okay. It is making a quincunx to the same planet here, 29, Mars, which again reflects the aspect Mars Sagittarius, right? Now transiting Saturn over here at 15 degree Pisces 53, is quincunx within 1 minute of arc the natal Uranus at 15 Leo 54. Now for transits to be so close to the planets, you know, we don't find it often, I would say. Okay. So now I would like to bring the wheel to July 25, 1936. We want to look at that transiting Uranus now, which is the ruler of the Aquarius and Libra energies. It's at 9 degree Taurus 25. And it is moving through the 11th house, which is Aquarian house, where Uranus is ruler of Aquarius. It is linking the 11th house to the 9th house ruled by Aquarius. Okay? And the 11th house is the house of service, group service, world service, discipleship service, where we find the world service, a new group of world service, particularly we're dealing with Taurus here, okay? And here we see that Uranus makes sextile to the progressed Mars this time, exactly 9 degree Cancer 25, 9 degree Taurus 25. And Aries rules the 11th house. So there is a powerful relationship between these two planets, okay? And we always coming back, you know, to this fundamental T squared, the triangle here, where Mars is one of its points, right? And Saturn is that in that 9th house ruled by Aquarius, okay? That's why the transit of that Uranus is important, because it also relates to Sagittarius, because the natal Uranus is in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. which together with Taurus conditioned again the endurance and one-pointed direction and persistent movement forward. Mars also rules a Scorpio sixth house, where we find the natal Jupiter, okay, in Sagittarius in the sixth house. And the major attributes of the plan are healing and redemption, which are related to the 6-12 house polarity of healing, redemption, renunciation also, and service and healing. And this again reflects the Pisces Virgo polarity across the MCIC in relation to the Piscean and Virgo houses, 6 and 12. Okay? And also to the Mars Jupiter opposition across the 6, 12 houses. Now, I need to, just to bring one aspect of importance, I need to change this again to 6, 6 September. I hope I'm getting this right. Because here it's appearing another very important aspect where the solar arc Jupiter, you see the degrees? 29-29 Capricorn make exact aspect to that. Natal Mars at 29, Taurus 29, by trine. Now you see, when we find such a powerful qualities as this disciple had, the undaunted persistence, devotion, endurance, we need to have it confirmed astrologically, and we are having it confirmed continuously when we are checking the astrology by transits and progressions. You see? Because if we found only one or two aspects, it would not reflect the power which DK said she had, undaunted persistence. The word he's using there is very powerful. Now, we come to, well, I can't move. Can I move? Yes, just about I can move. The days to 19. September. And we see the solar arc Jupiter has moved from 29 to 29. To 29-31 now, making an exact semi-square to the natal Saturn in Pisces, 4-31 by semi-square. another confirmation of the same energies here, bringing focus on the natal Mars Jupiter Saturn T square, you see, and the Taurus energies also through the Mars there, and the Capricorn energies related all to the quality of persistence. Because Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, right? So there is an even powerful mutual reception between Jupiter ruling Pisces and Saturn ruling Capricorn. And Sagittarius gives always the one-pointed focus in treading of the path. Sagittarius rules the path which we tread. And the intuitive and focused attitude of the pledged disciple. Because Sagittarius also has the quality of intuitive perception. And to take the pledge by the pledged disciple is a Sagittarian activity. And only pledged disciple is capable of transmuting aspiration into intuition. Now, let's hope we get this. Nature chart. We will now see the relationship between the houses. Jupiter, secondary soul ruler, in Sagittarius in a sixth house of service and everyday duties, is relating the sixth house to the ninth house, ruled by Aquarius, where Jupiter is the esoteric or soul ruler. And it is also ruler of the Pisces, where the Saturn is placed. Okay? And the ninth house is related to the treading of the path and search for higher knowledge, truth, and understanding of life. And she had the inner recognition of the truth, never wavered in her search for light and for a field in which to serve her soul, and steadily held to the path. These are the energies which reflects that. And now, bringing back the quadra wheel. Sorry about this, but you know, there is no other way for us to see this beside moving that quadra wheel to a particular month, October 8, 1936. Hopefully I typed it correctly. So what are we going to look at now in a way of the progressions and transits is the progressed axis of the Sun, Earth in Gemini Sagittarius across the 6-12 houses. Now, isn't that amazing, adding powerful energy here? in aspect now to the progressed ascendant in 19 Leo 26. Okay? And look where is the transiting Jupiter. Ride on it. Ride on it, aspecting the progressed ascendant from 19 Sagittarian 27 over the progressed Sun Earth axis. And Earth in Sagittarius is a powerful soul placement because the Earth rules Sagittarius as it's an esoteric ruler of Sagittarius. Okay? So this is an amazing, involving even the ascendant by progression with such a close up. 1 minute there and here, 5 minutes from the progression, major progressions. Okay? So, the progressed ascendant in that 19 Leo 26 is also making a semi-square to the natal ascendant within 1 minute of arc. You see, even it's this aspect is even listed here. Both ascendants are involved here, the natal and the progressed. And as we see also here, Neptune by progression makes exact sextile to the natal ascendant, 425, 425 from Taurus to Cancer. And you know, Neptune is the most powerful planet, important planet for her because it's the esoteric ruler of the Cancer ascendant. Okay? Representing the soul's purpose. And so, to reach the stage of that pledge disciple was part of her soul purpose here. Okay? Now, the transiting Jupiter in the 19 Sagittarius 27 there is sesquiquadrate progressed Neptune also, okay? In the 4 degree Taurus 25. From the 6 to 11 houses. Amazing that the same houses are being related again. Related to service. Okay. Now the progressed Sun Earth from Gemini to Sagittarius happened to be in Aries Libra decanets. We're coming back to the signs which we already noted as very important, right? And progressed ascendant at 19 Leo 26 also activates a very important midpoint which we don't see in here, but it is Saturn ascendant midpoint reflecting the Saturn trine ascendant natally. which falls at 4 degrees, Scorpio 28, and it's right opposition to the progressed Neptune at 4 Taurus 25. You see, to find these midpoints, you must be consciously looking for them. Okay? Because they are important energetically in this setup here. We also note that the transit, which is going on through all these 6 months of this instruction from June to September to December, is now very close, look, at 17 degrees from Pisces to Virgo. It's moving back and forward across this MCIC Virgo Pisces. Retrograde direct. But here, it is adding to the rest of the, excuse me, of the energies which we already discussed from the planetary influence also, involving the Saturn, Neptune. We remember Saturn and Neptune ascendant triangle when we were discussing it before. Okay? And Uranus transit is now in retrograde motion at 8 degrees Taurus 27. And it's aspecting the progressed Saturn in the ninth house at 8 degrees Pisces. Okay. So, you see, Aquarius was leading her to group service. Nine house, 11 house, and six house, and a nine house. All the houses of service are related here from these different planets. And also to that living usefulness, which is the hallmark, not a hallmark, of a pledged, accepted disciple. Involved in world service on large scale. Now you see, this is a process, a future indication for this disciple. From the working disciple to the world server, and thus from the second initiation, which was in front of her, to the third initiation. You know, she had a potential ability to take the second and third initiation in one life. Once she transmuted and brought under control the powerful six-ray force with which she has struggled and working for the past three incarnations already. This was her fourth one. And when she freed herself from the ties, emotional ties, and developed detachment, her major issue to develop in that life, detachment, divine indifference and impersonality. Because she was highly evolved already on the inner planes through these three lives, working already with the same energy. Okay? And once she mastered that, you know, she would enormously speed up her initiatory process also. Now, the aspirants or chelas in the light who are trained by senior disciples and initiates are in reality representing the nucleus of the Future World Service. And CDP, she has entered that incarnation as one of these aspirants. As the first degree initiate and Chela in the light, had the quality of persistence, which is the hallmark of the pledged disciple. Prior to becoming accepted disciple, when she has entered the stage three of the six stages of discipleship, that of accepted discipleship, where this persistence will continue. And before she could take the second initiation, as I said, she had to achieve that detachment and cut all personality ties. This is a condition for her to take the second initiation. Once she has achieved that, this will give her freedom for living usefulness in service and group work. That's the hallmark of the pledged, accepted disciple who has taken the second initiation is living usefulness in group life. You see, this reflects the key words of Uranus here very powerfully. Freedom, livingness. Okay? And then the outstanding characteristic of this pledged, accepted, second degree initiate is the outstanding characteristic, the power of to relinquish and to stand steady and unmoving irrespective of what is happening around him in his personal life. And all the crises happening must be experienced simultaneously, keywords of Uranus again, on all three planes. Like that Uranian powerful energy already conditioning her, this persistent, undaunting, persistent quality, the steadiness, you see, it's already working for her even now. More on the level, I would say, of the exoteric and esoteric, both rulerships, Libra, Aquarius. So the asset of the second ray pledged, she was the second ray disciple here, pledged accepted disciples is a steady persistence which doesn't tolerate any discouragement, even if it makes its appearance. And such disciples refuse to discontinue their effort or to change the spiritually given plans, even when the obstacles to accomplishment appear to be impossible to overcome. Now we're talking here, second ray pledged accepted disciple who has taken the second initiation. Why? Because here this requires the utilization of the spiritual will. And we would find the more conscious expression of the spiritual will at the second initiation. Okay? Starting point. And not even its full expression, but the first conscious expression. With an increased power of its expression at the middle point between the second and third initiation, where the penetrating power of that spiritual will start to relate the plan to the purpose. Because of its faculty of constant persistence, which it brings, which is not dependent upon the capacity of the form, but upon a dynamic, unchangeable purpose. We see here the conditioning energy of the mantra of the first ray, I still persist. Now, pledged disciple technically emerges at the middle point between the first and second initiation with the stage of the accepted discipleship, where we find CDP, who has taken those of you who participate regularly on these webinars, remember that she has taken the last test of fitness for accepted discipleship, not long before this instruction. And to my understanding, I think DK could not tell her about her status of pledged disciple before she passed the test of fitness for that accepted discipleship. DK considered all the disciples of his group pledged disciples, even though they were at different stages of the path and conditioned by different race, and they have all their own individual issues and problems where they were. But their immediate personal problem was to overcome and destroy the hold of the dweller or the personality upon them, which was also the task of this disciple, CDP. We must remember that a group of disciples is not pledged to the same type of work in the same way. They are pledged to work under the direction of their soul and strengthened by contact with the master and by love to each other, and obviously by the stability of their soul contact. The aim of each pledged disciple who has taken the second initiation must be to hold a subjective attitude of detached contact, an occult paradox here, and at the same time to carry forward the active service upon the physical plane. And the revelation is becoming increasingly recognizable in his brain consciousness. And the responsibility of the pledged accepted disciple who has taken the second initiation is to prepare the aspirants for accepted discipleship. DK told a disciple who was to take the second initiation in that life that they have been associated for several lives, but that it was only the second incarnation where this disciple has been definitely regarded by DK and by the hierarchy as a pledged disciple. Now, this is something to think about here. Why? Because he has preserved, inviolate a consecration and dedication, and this evoked a response from the high levels. This is telling us there are many stages of pledged disciple upon the path, and how many lives it takes to reach a particular stage is relative to our own dedication, persistence, and service. Now, changes in the life of a pledged disciple can come from two main causes. One is the working out of karma, which is unavoidable, but which presents opportunity. Now, this is related to the stage of Chela in the light, who works off unavoidable karma as intelligently and consciously as possible, and takes on some karma which normally would be precipitated in some later life. Now, here we find CDP, who, as a pledged disciple, transferred from Chela in the light to accepted discipleship, and as a first degree initiate became pledged accepted disciple. Now, secondly, the changes come due to the free choice and free decision directly initiated by the disciple. Now, these decisions, he can carry out or avoid them according to his own planning and decision. And this has little to do with the precipitating karma here, but primarily with intelligent initiating of new karma. And this is possible for the pledged accepted disciple at the second initiation, who can consciously arrange situations and conditions which are not results or effects, but are the commencements of new cycles. And this is the great time of importance in the soul's progress, when conscious decisions can be made with true understanding of the ensuing results or consequences. We see here a strong indication of the Aries, Libra energies, and Saturn and Uranus. And this is bringing me to the end, and to thank you for your patience and for your attention. And if there are any comments or questions, you can ask them now or make any comments. I know it is not easy to digest all this, so I would understand if you need to ponder and think about this. BL, are you there?
Yes. Walter says no questions at this time, but thank you once again for providing this presentation.
Thank you, Walter.
Ninka says thank you, Elena.
Thank you, Ninka.
Suzanne said it would be helpful to have some personal examples of her life and circumstances when attempting to understand the wonderful delineations and explanations you present. She says, is this at all possible? It would help us to identify her with her more. A wonderful explanation of the pledged disciple. Thank you.
It would be wonderful for me, for myself, to know that, Susan. Unfortunately, with all the disciples, we have sometimes no personal information about their lives, or absolutely minimal. But I agree with you. It would be wonderful to have that. But from the instructions, we can, what is important to know the spiritual progress of the disciple and the issues related to that stage encountered, and the astrology related to that.
And then we have a couple of more thank yous from Anne and Mary.
Thank you. I hope this you find this, you know, helpful for your own processes or any work you do to get at least some hints also about the astrology. I don't know how many of you know astrology, but, you know, to study the instructions, it's very, very helpful, and it's very important learning process for each of us. So I'm only sharing my own understanding of these things.
Well, we really appreciate that, and that's what everyone's been saying. We got a question here from Michael, but first I want to say Susanna said very helpful. So many golden nuggets to help us as individuals and groups. Okay, Michael, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to thank you, Elena, for such a fact-filled, dynamic presentation.
Thank you, Michael.
there is so much to assimilate, so much to try and reconcile with our own charts.
I am sure, Michael, you find a big resonance to your own energies here.
Well, you know, there is some things to consider.
Yeah. Yes. You wanted to say something else. Sorry, I interrupted you.
It's just so much to take in at one time to really formulate any question immediately. And I find it so helpful to go back to each of your webinar presentations. I have to go back multiple times in order to really get a real good feel of the potential within the energies. I mean, it's,
you can't find the words.
Exactly.
But you know, I understand you, because you know, I know how you work, how, you know, detailed you are, and you know, to understand. So I would be the same. I would be the same if I was in your place. You know, I couldn't probably formulate immediately a question, because I would need to spend some time, you know, in pondering and researching it for myself. You know.
Yeah, as I told Nicole, meticulous entirety is both a blessing and a curse.
Yes, yes. The third aspect of the second ray.
Uh-huh. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Elena, I think everybody here also ought to realize that you're not just saying this off the top of your head. You spend a lot of time pouring over this chart, and you see indications, and then you look to find, oh, wait a minute, I see this coming up, and then you purposely go and put it forward, and you look at the midpoints, like you said. And so, you know, for us, it's an hour and a half of intense and wonderful instruction, but for you, you've spent a lot of time already pouring over it. So,
oh yes, it's hours, 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 hours of work.
Right.
To prepare this 1.5 hour. You are right, BL.
I wanted to say that Leah also is agreeing with everything that Michael is saying, and she thanks you for the details that are really illuminating. So
thank you, Leah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, unless you have anything else that you'd like to say, I don't see any more hands and I don't see.
Well, personally, not myself, you know, but if anybody else want to make any comments, please do so. If not, you know, it's okay.
And the other thing is, the announcement had your email address, so are they free to follow up with questions that they may think of in the middle of the night? Oh, man, why didn't I tell you?
Not in the middle of the night, please. It's the middle of the night for me here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, especially Elena. And thank you, Brett and Joe, for behind-the-scenes help.
Yes, I thank you, my supporting team here, Brett, Joe, BL, you know, whom I couldn't work.
I'll say good night to everybody then.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.